Holy collected universe, friends. Tom here, the resident Kryptonian. And thank you so much for joining us today on a very special episode of the RK Pod. We're doing an awesome interview with some of the people behind the Kira Prime universe. So, of course, let's just jump right into it. I want to go ahead and get some introductions out of the way, and then we can start asking some of the really hard-hitting questions. So, first off, I want to introduce Mr. Brian Silverbacks. How's it going, Brian?
What's up, man? I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to talk comic books, and I'm happy to, I'm just happy, dude.
All right. Well, happy's a good thing, I guess. It's better than being angry, I'm sure.
I gave that a try.
Next, we have Mr. Dustin Staub.
Hello. How's it going, everybody?
All right. And last but not least, one of the artists that are involved with Kira Prime, James Malloy.
What's up?
So really quickly, I do want to kind of get a little bit of an idea for the people listening. What you guys primarily do when it comes to comic books, what is, whether you're a writer, an artist, or just a think man, whoever wants to go first, don't hesitate to just jump right in. Just kind of give a rundown of your specialty in the world of comic books.
JT, why don't you go ahead and start first?
What do I do? I'm special. My specialty, what is going on?
what is your role in the world of comic books? What do you provide the universe?
With all the things. I'm kind of a jack of a couple of trades and a master of like maybe one and a half, but I write, draw, color, and letter. Like I do my own comic book, the Sapphire Spectre. You can see her back there. That's my character had a successful Kickstarter. That's primarily what I do, but I'm also doing a lot of covers for other people and stuff like that. And then Dustin was the one who hit me up for drawing his story that he came up with for Kira Prime universe. And of course I said yes right away because he's always been an awesome supporter and cool guy to me and what I do. So I was like, yeah, of course. So I was like very, very, I had a lot of fun working on it. It was okay. Totally cool.
How long have you been doing comic books, man? I'm sorry.
How long have I been doing comic books? Oh my God. Like, my whole life, but like I didn't truly start like really understanding and getting into the con scene and like meeting the right people and all this stuff and networking the right way, I guess, if you want to even say that, like about 5 years ago. So I've been doing it forever. I just kind of started accidentally failing upwards in the last 5 years. So
Oh, now's a good time to do it, especially with all the technology available for a lot of creative people out there. It's never been as, I don't want to say easy, but it's never been as accessible as it is right now. But I do want to touch on something you said. So you said Dustin actually hit you up, and I think that's interesting because that was something I was going to ask later on. But how exactly did that come about? So like, Dustin, were you contacted by Brian, or did you just like stumble across it, hit Brian up and then say, hey, I've got an artist, you know, he's great, and then you got a hold of him? Where did your collaboration for Kira Prime stem from?
Well, so Brian put the feelers out there. He's like, here's this list of characters from the Kira Prime world. I'm looking at doing this anthology project and just basically recruiting people. So I threw my name in the hat and was told Brian I'd love to write for one of the characters. He was kind enough to give me an option, and he snatched up Blacksmith, and then it was on me to figure out who was going to do the art and stuff for it. Because obviously Brian couldn't do all of the art for all of these stories.
Man, Brian didn't do any of the art.
That'd be a huge task, a huge task.
So, you know, the first person I thought of was JT because I've been a follower of his for a long time now. And we've collaborated on a number of different commissions. You know, we've met each other. We've chatted before. I've gotten him Spider-Man comics. It's just, so I reached out to JT and I was pleasantly surprised to see how eager he was to help me out with this.
Awesome. So I'm just loving you guys. I think you guys are planning these. You must have known what I was going to ask and are planning these answers accordingly so I could segue into the next thing so perfect. Because you talked about Brian reaching out to you, and I want to touch on that as far as, so Brian, Kara Prime, give the listeners out there the meat and potatoes, the idea behind this collected universe, not just featuring a bunch of different characters, but I think one of the most important parts of this is featuring the different creatives behind everything.
All right, man. The other guys can probably go take a dump right now, and they and I'll start talking when they come back, because I was just told today, someone had asked me about Kara Prime and everything, and I said, dude, my description of Kara Prime is not quite succinct yet. Like I just get the ball and it's shooting out all this information. So I'll start kind of what the meaning is. Like, so I wanted to create a connected comic book world so that when I go to an artist alley at the show and I see the row of artist alley or creator alley or whatever the hell you call it, everybody has their own creator-owned character, but the odds of their creator-owned character ever intermingling with any other creator-owned character on Artist Alley are very slim to nil. Yeah. And I thought the appeal of for me about the Marvel Universe and Marvel Cinematic Universe and slightly the DC Universe was the fact that you could be watching this one movie and that this character could come over and say hi for a little bit and have a small or a big role. And of course, in the comics in Marvel and DC, you've got all the crossover action. But in the world of independent comics, it doesn't happen because of rights and who's going to get the publishing and who's going to get the back end points and all this. All that shit makes it so muddy that independent creators probably just don't want to mess with it. Although, as a customer, if I were to know that I could walk down this artist alley and I could buy 5 creator-owned books and maybe 3 of them appear in each other's book, like, that would be a pretty cool thing to experience. And so that's what I was trying to set up with the idea of what Kara Prime was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. All right, that's phase one. Phase two is coming up with a whole bunch of characters with backstories that weren't very stereotypical of comic book stuff. So that's what gave us the handbook, was all these backstories that really, I think, are more identifiable with how genuine people can feel or things they may have gone through. There's one character in who lost her husband and her brother-in-law in a DUI accident, and now she's having to raise the kids with her sister-in-law, that they've become friends. Like, it's just a weird backstory, and it has absolutely zero to do with her superpower or any of that shit. But it's really like, that's a story that somebody out there can identify with, that person's struggle of being the single parent and be, you know, you were all, so stuff like that. So the backstories I tried to create backstories that were uncommon in comic books. That was stage two. Stage three was I needed to create content. All right, well, I don't draw pages that well, and I don't officially write that well. So it's going to take me forever to build up the brand of Kara Prime to get to where you could possibly go down Artist Alley and have all of these people with their characters intersecting. And the longer it takes me to create content, the longer it'll be before we can have that connected universe and the appeal gets there. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to last year, or maybe the year before, I was asked to be part of an anthology project on Kickstarter. So they asked me to draw 10 pages of a story. And I watched it, you know, when they did the Kickstarter a year later, it got over like $20,000 and shit. And I was like, holy shit, man. So this person put together this, this anthology, and promised to pay people on the back end after the thing was done. Like, here's the way that project was posted, is every writer is going to get, I think, $100 a page that they turn in for their story. And it's up to the writer to work out an agreement with the artist. So in my case, the writer and I were splitting 50-50 for every page that we did. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way. And I was like, and so I looked at it and I was like, oh, so the guy putting this Kickstarter together, when this is all said and done, if he's got, you know, 375 backers on this project, those 375 backers will now be privy and are on his mailing list to every Kickstarter he does outside of that when he does his own, when he does his own project that may not have all these people involved. And I was like, what better way to try to build up content for my universe, build up my reach as far as like mailing list, and include people that I like, that that expose more create. So to me, I couldn't fucking lose, man. But I was very aware that the anthologies do really well on Kickstarter because they're either Cthulhu or they're zombie or they're horror or they're like, you know, stranded sort of girls.
Genres.
Yeah, there's audiences for those things that regardless of the quality of content, they will participate in that Kickstarter. And we don't have any of that going for us because no one knows what the hell Cara Prime is. So that we don't have that built in, like, oh, that's a horror book. Boom, I'm gonna buy it. So I'm aware that we're fighting that the unknown, like the unproven thing. But for me, this is a way to, like I said, so we're expanding the universe rather quickly to give us a jump start. We're including a great deal of creators that either could use more spotlight or use a point, more showcasing what they can do. And it's all inclusive. And at the same time, the world of Cara Prime will benefit. And so that's kind of what I did.
I think we talked about this before actually getting on with the interview, but I get a very early Image Comics vibe, especially when you talk about the universe and talk about bringing it together. So I am very, very much interested in the future of where this goes, because I think there is a lot of potential. I think it also kind of gives me that whole heavy metal magazine kind of thing where yes, every single book was always different. You always had a rotating world of creatives coming in. So I'm very impressed with the scope and magnitude of this idea.
Do you mind if I go?
No, go ahead, please.
All right. So the thing that's kind of different about the way heavy metal is more of like thematic stories pieced together. Yeah. Like they all have this vibe. But one of the things that we're going to do is Cara Prime is they all take place in the same world. So the there's certain things that can't be moved so that the readers can kind of say, all right, this is where they live without having to reestablish every time of 2025 after World War VIII. Like, you know, we're not doing all of that every time. So it's like that, but also mix in with like a little bit of what, you know, Marvel Comics does with their storytelling. Like we have this canon area.
Yep.
And then we play in there, even though all the stories don't necessarily affect one another.
No, I get that. But
that's 100%. Cool. So with this, what I'm seeking to do, and I don't know how many people are super privy or how many people have actually listened to the shit that I've said, but so the goal is to do like one of these collected volumes, because each story is five pages, a minimum of five pages, except for one. But so, so it's a collection of short stories, and that's called the Tales from Cara Prime. So if you ever buy a Tales from Cara Prime, it'll be like this graphic novel size 100 plus page thing of five page stories. So we're going to branch off of that. And then we're also going to have a floppy series called Cara Prime Presents. And that will be, let's say I got with Dustin and JT and I said, hey, do you guys want to do a full 20 page floppy for Blacksmith? And you can introduce, you know, Sapphire Spectre can come in and she can hang out with him or whatever, you know, something like that. So Cara Prime Presents is going to be a complete floppy story that the creative team may be different from issue to issue, but they all take place. It's just a larger version of this of what you get in the five page stories. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And that's kind of where I wanted to talk with Dustin about.
I wasn't done.
All right, go ahead, Brian.
And the last,
he'll just keep going.
The last thing that I'm trying to do is I'm also going to have an all ages version of Cara Prime, which is called Cara Prime Kids. And this is all like really chibi-ized versions and younger versions of all these characters that kind of can tackle like the Aesop's Fables kind of stuff, like stories like that about being good people and shit like that. So it has nothing to do.
My hat in right now and get involved in the chibi stuff.
I've got issue one is at the artist right now. Like it's like a lot of people don't know that I am when people say they're balls deep into something, I don't think they fully understand, but dude, it's like I'm up to my neck in it right now, just handling it. Cause I've got two stories for Cara Prime that are already drawn. I've got another story that's at this at the chibi thing is already at the artist. Like I've got all this shit is coming, and so if you miss the bus, like it's gonna be big. So I'm just saying. So I'm trying my best to just make something out of nothing.
Hey, that's where some of the best creators from comic books came from, right? You know, is guys who started from nothing. You look at the Stan Lees, the Ditkos, again, Todd McFarlane, all the guys behind Image. Yeah, they had already established themselves in the world of comics. But before that, they had to, you know, grind to get to where they were with Marvel, with DC. So it's very admirable what you guys are trying to accomplish here. But I wanted to jump to what I was going to ask Dustin, because it ties to what you were saying, Brian, about creating this canon that is set in stone. So, Dustin, when you're writing for a connected universe like Cara Prime, where you've already got stuff established, what are some of the things you try to keep in mind, or perhaps just guidelines that you impose upon yourself, if any? And I guess the same question could be asked of you, James, as well.
So I think that's part of the beauty of what Brian's putting together here is he didn't put a whole lot of restrictions on me personally, given the character that I had. You know, he had a bio created in the Cara Prime handbook, and I took a look at the bio, and then I just had some freedom to elaborate on what was going on with that character. And basically, I mean, I had to have some, you know, my first draft had to have some adjustments done because Brian didn't want the character to have some of the abilities that I had originally wrote for him, but that's fine. I mean, that's all part of the process. And yeah, I'm hats off to Brian to giving, at least from my writing perspective, plenty of freedom with what I was going to do with the character. Awesome. I mean, I created a sidekick for him, let alone, you know, so I mean, there's other things too.
Okay. And what about you, JT?
Yeah, it was really cool to just how much like freedom was involved, but I also wanted to like make sure it was like on brand or whatever. So it's like I definitely hit up Brian on Facebook Messenger a couple times asking him like, hey, what should the city look like? Like, are there any street gangs? And he gave me the name of some of the street gangs and stuff like that, so I could like add graffiti in the background of like the city. And like he described it as like Mega City 1 from Judge Dredd, like combined with kind of like a slum or whatever. So what I did was I recently watched Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I like thought of that scene in Cairo in that movie where like he steps up on the, with Salah up on the John Rhys Davies on the, and like you oversee like all of Cairo, you know? And I was like, oh my God, what if it looked like that in Mega City 1 at the same time? And that's just kind of the vibe I went for, you know? So like markets on the streets, but also like high rise, like
that's building. Exactly right too, by the way.
Yeah. So that's kind of the vibe I got out of it. So I did that. And yeah, I even put the map from the, of Cara Prime United States in the background of like Blacksmith's Workshop at some point. So it's like, I tried to add little trinkets and stuff in there that kind of like tied just it back to everything. Yeah.
And look, that's the type of shit that you're only going to get when people care about what they're doing. And so like, there's probably at least 20 things that James hid inside of this, just the regular panels, that he sat down and thought about. It's like, oh, that would be like cool throwback or whatever, you know, but you're only going to get that when you're dealing with people that are passionate and they realize like what is on the line. Like if this breaks, this could be, you know, who knows who's going to see his artwork, you know, outside of the audience that watches the Spectre. Like this might introduce his artwork to a whole new audience and he could be like, yo, that's exactly the style I was looking for. So to me, this is not just a Kara Prime anthology project. This is a showcase of talents to try to get everybody involved some more work.
Yeah, and just to speak to that a little bit, Sapphire Spectre has technically made her debut in Kara Prime.
I added a picture of her in the background. I kind of thought of Blacksmith, like, okay, so he senses portals, right? So he's probably got like what he found and where on a map, you know what I mean? So I had like yarn tied to like stuff, like pointing to pins on a map that show like little pictures of portals and stuff. And I had one pointing to Chicago that, and I just drew it tiny, but it was Sylvia from Sapphire Spectre.
I thought that was amazing. That's part of the, not so much with this, not with volume one, but that's kind of what I want to lean into more going forward. So next time that that we work on a project for Kara Prime, like I'd like it to be more inclusive of your creator owned IP to maybe introduce that create or that character into an audience that may not have experienced it yet, but not be like, I'm not asking you to write a full fledged story under, but somehow we should. So I want to volume two to maybe bring in a little bit more creator owned characters that kind of can play well that way, that not only do you benefit from the exposure, the dreaded exposure, but you would also be able to benefit by having new eyes on your character for that little.
And it would just be fun, you know, like I definitely look at it from a fun perspective.
So for me, the reason I didn't do that with this volume one is I kind of need to focus on establishing what Kara Prime is and let people understand that before we really start melting their brain and saying, look at all these fucking characters from everywhere. Oh, like,
sure. So this one makes the most sense though, Brian, is coming into it with an establishment, a foundation. Because otherwise you are, as you said earlier, you talked about kind of fighting this uphill battle, unlike the niche genres where they, you know, they put something out on Kickstarter and it's like sold and backed right away within the first 20 minutes. You're trying to get this whole different world. And yeah, it makes the most sense to come in where with a solid foundation and then move forward and start bringing in all these new crazy ideas. And I respect that.
I appreciate it, man. I put a lot of thought into it. And I'm not going to lie, if I could draw titties any better, I would be doing those $20,000 and $50,000 Kickstarters. But I just can't get them women down, man. That's why I started drawing monsters.
Yeah, there you go. I think monsters is kind of just where everyone kind of gravitates towards monsters at the beginning.
Everybody can draw a monster and no one can say it doesn't look right because it's a fucking monster.
So we talked
about the second you draw a girl wrong, everybody knows.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they'll tell you that nipple's off center. But we talked a little. You guys mentioned Sapphire Spectre. So I do want to kind of touch on that. JT, how different is the experience working on your own project as opposed to how things have been going working on Kara Prime?
Yeah, it was cool because it was like I've been doing Sapphire Spectre just so long in a row that like I've barely ever had time to do anything else, like at least for sequentials, you know, because it's like I've drawn a cover for a friend or two, like Kara and Alfred Trujillo, like for Fire Bitch and like a couple others, totally rad comics and stuff. But like it was cool to be able to take a break and do a 5-page story for something that is not like really my genre of forte, at least, or what I'm used to, you know what I mean? So it was like fun to use the other parts of my brain to like, you know, like get storytelling going down in a way that like, I mean, it's still my style and all that stuff, but it's like I'm so used to drawing Chicago skylines and like a punk rock show and like, you know, Sylvia with her flowing hair and the ghosty stuff, you know what I mean? But it's like Dustin gives me this story where it's like this guy Blacksmith, and it's like I'm used to I draw, you know, female as my main protagonist, and this guy is just a burly old dude, you know what I mean? Like probably like a 45-year-old that aged like a 70-year-old, you know, because like of how much he's seen and done. So it's like I just had to like think in that mindset, and like the first page was like him like looking in a forest for like a portal, and I'm like, all right, to like come swinging out the gate, the first page has to be this dude just swinging his axe and chopping an entire tree in half. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I want to get in this fantasy world. So I want to, you know, it's got to be part sci-fi too, but it's like, I want this to look like it came from like a, you know, a heavy metal dude's like a wet dream or something, of just this giant beardy dude smashing a tree in half. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it was fun to be able to dive into like another style and genre of like storytelling. So yeah,
that's cool. And I do want to talk a little, and I hope we can, I want to talk a little bit about Blacksmith. If you can tease us with any little tidbits about this character and this story, but I want to go to Dustin for that, because Dustin, I believe this is going to be your first published piece, correct? So one, how does it feel to know that, I mean, obviously you love comics. I mean, I'm looking behind you, definitely a guy who loves comics. So how does it make you feel? And how exactly did you approach writing this character? Now, for those of you who are on audio podcast, you are not going to be able to see this, but JT is sharing with us some really, oh, wow, really sick artwork of what looks to be a tree just getting decimated. And I'm digging it. I can't wait to see that in full comic book glory.
Yeah, so yeah, I obviously took a look at the Cara Prime handbook just to get a feel for the baseline that Brian had laid for the Blacksmith character. And from that point, I kind of, well, you know, this is only a 5-page story, so I couldn't really do an origin story justice. So I kind of just did a one-off story that kind of shows who he is in a sense. So my envision of Blacksmith is that he's this retired pro fighter, and that's where he gets that nickname, is he was the Blacksmith as a pro fighter, and he's kind of gone into the world of basically interdimensional bounty hunting. So he, now, on his home question. World. Go ahead.
I've got a question. So where did you get the bounty hunter aspect? Like, where did that come in?
Well,
it's, you know, not in the bio, because I saw you on a podcast yesterday and you're like, oh, he's supposed to be a bounty hunter. I was like, nowhere in my bio does it say he's a bounty hunter. And I saw what you wrote. And when you wrote it, I was like, well, I don't know what the fuck he's doing here, but let's just see where this goes. Because in my mind, so just so everybody, so we can all be on the same page, like, it's done, it's in the can, it's finished. But the character for me in my head, the way I pictured it, was kind of like if you took the Gladiator out of the movie Gladiator, who was just like a trained fighter war general, but like on their planet, all they do is fight. Like, that is the only, like, sport fighting is the only thing to do, and then you go home. So everybody's constantly fighting, almost like the, what was that, the samurai cartoon where the Samuel Jackson did the voice, I think, of the samurai.
Afro samurai,
because there could be only one, and everybody was always fighting to see who could be number two. So that's kind of where I pictured his home planet. And so when he came to Cara Prime, which is Earth, like, when he came here, all he was doing was looking to pick a fight, because that's what he knew. And he wanted to get home so bad, because no one here really gave into that fighting lifestyle of just going around smashing shit with a hammer, like the fish out of water story. So this bounty hunting is completely Dustin. and sensing portals and shit, that's all him. So go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, well, you know, I took a look at the character and the character design. Obviously, there, you know, from the handbook, there's just the one image of who Blacksmith is. So I decided that, you know, he's a little old to still be fighting. So what is he doing with his life right now? And I just envisioned that he's this interdimensional bounty hunter. He's got this ability to know when these interdimensional portals open up, and he can track down these, you know, whatever they are, they're aliens or entities that are coming to the world and looking to cause trouble. So that's kind of what I gave him the realm to. And I wanted to make him a family man, as is mentioned in the bio.
That part is in the bio.
So, so he's got to have a reason to be doing these sort of things. And, you know, he, for whatever reason, we don't know the reason yet as to why all these characters are getting sucked into the world of Cara Prime or by whom. And he's in the world of Cara Prime, doesn't know how he got there for sure, you know, and he just reverts back to what he's good at, which is this interdimensional hunting. And, oh, by the way, he may be able to find a portal home while he's doing that. So it kind of works to his benefit to continue to do what he kind of already does. So that's kind of where that all came from. I gave him a sidekick, a little Peregrine Falcon named Swift.
Now, go ahead and explain to these guys why you gave him. I listened to the reason why you gave him a sidekick that was not talked about in the bio. But your reasoning is so awesome. And as maybe someone who's listening that's very creative, this could help with their storytelling. So please enlighten them as to why you gave him a Falcon.
So I gave him, basically I gave him a sidekick or a partner just to help bounce dialogue off of another character, as opposed to this lone guy that's kind of just wandering through the world. And then we have to get to understand his motivations or why he's doing what or what he's going to do next. We have to kind of give him thought bubbles or some sort of inner dialogue. This way he has another character to bounce those ideas and thoughts off of and help guide the story and predict or help the reader understand what the motivations are and why he's doing what he's doing.
So is there a telepathic link going on, or is this Falcon just straight up like, hey man, let's go take over, let's go tear down that tree or something?
The Falcon talks like Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, perfect.
So I you know, you're gonna have to wait and see if I write the origin story, then you'll know more about the Falcon.
Hey, there you go. You gotta get on the Kickstarter now, guys, so you can get that. But I do want to, so we got a little bit of Blacksmith. There is one other character I want to talk about. And now, Brian, we talked about this before the show here, but I've been following you since 2015, and I've seen you come up and just take over and just keep on grinding. And there's been a constant since 2015, and that is the character of Baku. I actually, one of our first interactions was a sketch card trade where I drew Baku and sent it to you, and you actually sent me a Spawn sketch card, which I wish I had it around here readily available. I didn't think about that. But
what was your Baku card?
It was a Baku.
Was it this one?
Yeah, there you go. That is mine. So yeah, that was like
March 2016.
Yeah, 2016. And you know, like our first interaction, you actually hooked me up with a connection for Upper Deck, and you got me on my first sketch card set. So I owe a lot to you.
Dude, I never even knew that. And congratulations to you. But to me, that lets me know that I'm doing the fucking right thing, because all I want is for everybody to eat.
I feel it. I got to eat. I appreciate that for sure. Like,
so I, doing sketch cards, getting paid $2 or $3 a card is suck. But the I can say that I drew an official set. Like that's the first step to, all right, that felt good. Now let me do something a little bit more. But me, like why do I want you to do sketch cards? Because if you don't do sketch cards, that's more work for me, right? That means I can eat more. But I don't like, I'm not one of those gatekeeper type individuals. Like I really, when I say I want us all to eat, like I legitimately mean it. And I did not know that story until you just said it. So that makes me feel pretty good.
Like you said, the whole gatekeeper thing, like I had literally gone through probably 20 messages with other people on Instagram, and it was silence, crickets. And then the first message I sent to you, and you're like, oh yeah, no problem, man. You got to talk to this guy. Yeah. And it was like, oh, okay. Thanks. You know, like I really appreciate you.
Fucking get after it, man. That's what it's about, dude.
But yeah. I want to jump back to Baku though. So okay. That character has been around for a while. Yeah, and it's something that you
were
the drawing.
OG.
Yeah, pretty much. He's, yeah, exactly. He's kind
so
of what started.
Let me just
it
give
all
you. So I can see where your question is going, and I'm going to jump the gun
go
a little
ahead
bit.
Take it over.
Let's talk Baku. All right. So when I finally was kind of starting to phase out of fan art in Artist Alley, I was like, I need a character that I want to. I need my own guy. I want to start bringing my own guy to the table. And to me, Baku was like the version of Brian that I always wished. Like, he's muscular, he's tall, he's got a fucking badass mohawk, and he's going to live. He's kind of got a healing factor, although it's nanites and shit. So my favorite character, Wolverine, there's a little bit of that in him. And then he's got a little bit of tech, and he used to be a police officer. So all of this stuff went into his backstory. And then the reality hit me like, what if I do all of this work and create this story, and through no fault of your own, Tom doesn't give a shit about Baku. So now you're going to buy my book out of pity, and I'm going to focus all of my energy on this. So I said, well, all right, well, let's bring in some other characters. So the next character that I made after that is like, oh, I need a brute. So I need somebody big that can handle the business. And that's where Loggerhead came from. And then I was like, all right, I need a powerful girl that they can call on when they need to do like girl missions and shit like that. And not to be sexist, but sometimes a girl needs to be in the disguise and do that shit that women can do to men. So I needed a female. So and then it just started building from there. And that's how I built out all of the Kara Prime universe, which at that time was called Year Zero. But so it started because I never wanted to pigeonhole myself to just say, I'm going to do this one character all the time as hard as I can, because I want to make stuff that you can like, and then that person can like, and that you might not like everything I do, but I will have something that you can appreciate. And I didn't want to limit myself by just focusing all my attention on one character that may not connect with everybody. So that's where it stemmed from.
Yeah. And
so even on my current computer right now, everything I've done for Loggerhead and Year Zero and Kara Prime and the handbook and everything all comes back. It's all in one folder, you know, folders within folders. But that one folder says everything Baku, because that was the first place where I started putting my Baku art and my little story that I wrote and everything. So it all, and then I just branched out in that folder. So if you want to find the handbook, it's inside the everything Baku folder. So that's exactly where everything started.
So, you know, just based on that alone, like, how do you feel as a creator, looking at where everything started and where you're headed? Do you feel like this is the exact direction? I mean, obviously it's not the exact direction you had planned, but are you 100% sold that Baku is now more of a background character, or could we possibly,
yes,
can we possibly see him eventually come to the forefront and kind of be like, hey, well, I'm the all important character.
I don't think that there will ever, as I see it currently, there will never be a all important character inside the world. Okay. It's just not going to do that, because I don't think any of us will spend enough time developing one character to be superior to any of the other ones. Now, for a set story, Baku could be the man that settles this, you know, 80 page story, or Blacksmith could be the hero of this 80 page story. But I don't think there will be one character that is just like dominates no matter what story he's going to be in. And with that said, I already do have the idea for the Baku 20 page kind of origin story. I just haven't written it. But to go with you now, like, over the past, so doing this project now, Tales from Kara Prime, I found a new person that I think I really want to focus my energy on. And I think, like, I'm really going to have a good time. So when I do another story, like, I believe I'm going to really focus on this guy and nail him down.
Okay, awesome.
But who was not designed for me to be a character to like. It was just to fill out the roster. And I wrote this character for the Kara Prime anthology. Like, I wrote a 5-page story for him. And I was like, you know what? I think I have a pretty cool story arc in my head to where we can do some redemption and all that other cool movie shit and storytelling stuff. Like, so I think that's where I want to focus, because I think it's a more, I can write a more identifiable, more grounded story with him, because he's not necessarily super powered. He doesn't have any nanites and he doesn't have this thing. And he's been very much discarded from every society he's tried to be involved with. So I think that it will make for a better storytelling thing for me.
Sounds good. So I want to do something real quick here. This is kind of like one of those rapid fire question segments you always get in different shows. I'm going to tell you right now, it's just three questions, and I'd like to get a one word answer from all three of you guys. Doesn't have to be at the same time. We'll start with the first question. It's probably going to be an easy answer for Dustin. I could tell just probably from looking at behind him. Favorite comic book character?
Spawn.
He switched it up.
You don't see the Spawn wall. That's why.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to say Lobo for me.
The one that is behind Dustin right now, Spidey.
All right. Favorite writer?
Kate's right now.
Whoa, very good, very good.
Are you ready for me? Right, anybody just, who just makes a living writing. Ready. Anybody who makes a living writing.
Oh, good answer.
I don't know. I was a big fan of the Dan Slott Spider-Man run, so that's just what popped in my head.
I don't read anymore, so that's why I can't fully answer that question.
It's hard to find the time when you're so busy, man. It's hard.
Well, I have trouble reading, like, as a personal thing. Like, so for any, if anyone is looking to listen to my story, like, maybe for some sort of fake inspiration or something, like, I don't read very well. I don't spell very well. I don't type very well. And so, but yet I've still written, like, 12 comics, and I've had edited and stuff like that. Like, the editors really have to do a lot of work to get me there, but you can't rest on that as an excuse. But what it does hamper me from doing is enjoying a lot of reading.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think people listening will definitely find inspiration hearing that and just seeing your body of work. So kudos to you. Last question. Favorite non-independent publisher?
Non-independent publisher?
Yep, I'm a Marvel guy.
Really, well, you basically got three Marvel options guy at that point.
I'm a Marvel guy.
Did you both go? Okay, sorry.
I said Marvel.
Oh, God, it's so hard to tell. But, yeah, I might have to default to Marvel.
Marvel's where it's at. Yeah.
I don't play favorites, but it's just I had more access to Marvel comics growing up. And it was like, that's what you see first. So that's where I am.
Cohesive universe when I was growing up, like in the 90s and stuff like that, you know.
I think all around JT they've got the more cohesive universe, especially in some of the more recent, you know, runs on both sides. Like, you look at DC and it's a reboot every year. They don't know what direction they're going, whereas Marvel, it's like solid banger after solid banger. They all interconnect. I mean, I could go on and on about Marvel. Like
Superman, I probably purchase just as much Image, though, as I do Marvel. So
yeah, no, Image.
Okay, like Superman versus Spider-Man. It's like, and I don't mean the awesome comic from the 70s. I mean, like, literally Superman versus Spider-Man. It's like Superman, if you ask somebody, like, what's his origin? It's been done 20,000 times, you know what I mean, in the comics. So it's like, oh, which version is it? Is it the John Byrne one? Is it the Siegel and Shuster one? Is it the later one done by Mark Waid or whatever? And like Spider-Man, just once, you know, like, yeah, sure, there was Ultimate, but nobody cares. Like, just once. There's just one Spider-Man.
So I do want to go, let's jump back into Tales from Kara Prime here. Let's talk about the Kickstarter, which is still live right now. With about, what I believe, what, 12 days left on that?
We have till June 2nd.
Okay, June
2nd. Or May 2nd. May 2nd. Okay, May 2nd.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about that, Brian, if you want to go into that. Just kind of what's some of the rewards people can look forward to if they get on board with that?
All right. Well, I can't do anything easy. So I've gone and I've tried to make this fucking difficult for myself as well. So there's no alternate covers. There's no, the tits are hanging out on this cover, or this one's dipped in gold puke, or this one's got some diamond dust on it. There's none of that shit. It's you get the fucking book for $20 or you don't. That's pretty much what it boils down to, is $20 will get you a copy of this book. And then that's so all of my stretch goals that, you know, everybody, you got to have. Funny story, by the way, when I did my first Kickstarter, I was like, I didn't see the stretch goals button. How do I go punch those in? And I had already launched my Kickstarter. I had no idea that that was just something that you had to like natively do yourself. Like you had to have that built in. But so for this, the stretch goals are all backer based. So once we get to 100 backers, I'm going to throw a whole pile of shit that everybody's going to get. So we're not unlocking anything. There's nothing hidden behind a paywall or a stretch goal that unlocks it for certain people to get. Like if you ordered a physical copy of the book, you're getting whatever is from here on out. So I have trading cards coming. I have two extra stories being added to the book that nobody knows about. I've got all of this cool shit that I have planned, and everybody who ordered it is going to get it. So it's a backer-based campaign to where I'm not saying when we get $1 million, I'm saying once I get 100 eyeballs on my shit, we're going to see something. And then once I get 150 eyeballs. So I really want to push the word out about what we're building. I don't want it to seem like greedy. I'd rather have eyeballs than money. I need enough money to pay for the stuff, but I'm by no means trying to get rich. I'm trying to get eyeballs.
No, and I feel like $20 for 80 plus pages and all the stories.
It's at 110 pages right now.
$20 is well worth it. Definitely. I don't think anybody out there who is a comic book fan, period, for $20, you're getting that much of a book. It's a no brainer. You got to go check the Kickstarter out.
And not to take anything away from anybody, you know, JT, Dustin, or myself, but there's some names that are on this project that I didn't figure would give me the time of day when it came to putting this together, because like I said, we're putting this whole book, or this whole project was put together on I'll pay you back when, yeah, or I'll pay you if, like, so there's gotta be a level of trust and a little level of, I hope this comes through because I don't want to stiff them for the hard work, because they've already done the work and now they're waiting.
Let's touch on that real quick. What are some of the other creatives you have involved with this project?
I mean, for me, I'm just happy that anybody gave me the time of day. You know what I mean? But when I've got the two guys that wrote Metal Shark Bro and Ninja Nuns doing a story in this book, and they said, hey, Brian, yeah, sure, we'd like to help you out, because not only do we, we're wrestling fans, because I had pitched them a wrestling character. They said, yeah, and we'd love to help you out. And then they said, hey, man, I can't get this to stick in 5 pages. Can I have a 6th page? I was like, well, here you go. So to have that team, that Kevin and Bob are a proven published team. Like they have put out some bangers into independent comics. And so to me, that was really big deal being able to have them. Jonathan Hedrick, who right now is writing The Recount, and The Recount is one of the top selling independent books right now, you know, with the last issue coming out this month. Like that's a hot book and he's on this project. Stefano Cardicelli is an Italian illustrator who's been in heavy metal. You brought that up before. Like his art style is very heavy metal. I can't name them all, but each one of these people has a very special, like, not only are they good people, because Brian doesn't keep people around him that are kind of shade, because I don't have time to fuck with that. So for me to recommend somebody to you or be a part of something with you, like you better have your shit. So it's almost like an unspoken vouch. I don't know, man, I'm just really excited and I'm happy to have all of these badasses working on something that originated in my mind. And I would gladly do the same for them. You know what I mean? If the day comes when Dustin's putting together an anthology and says, I need a cover or whatever, like, whatever it is, like all of these people are very aware that, you know what, secret, almost half the people on this project I've already done shit for without ever expecting to have to call in and like, hey, you know, can you help me out here? So that to me, like, it's all that this karma shit coming back.
No, it's good. You wanna build a good community of creators who are willing to work together and understand each other. So I see what you got going there. Before we wrap things up, I kind of want to go really quick around the horn once again and just kind of let the listeners know where they can find your work, whether it's whatever social media platform.
I want James to tell us a little bit more about, I want him to pitch the Sapphire Spectre.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you on social media, but I also want you to let people know what you have in the chamber. Besides Kara Prime, what are you working on? What are you looking forward to working on in the future? So yeah, James, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Yeah, Sapphire Spectre is definitely my main focus. There, right there. This is the first issue. It got kickstarted a couple months back, and I'm doing the second Kickstarter coming up very soon. Got some very exciting guest artists doing like covers for it, like Steph Wilson, who is just everywhere these days, and there's a good reason for it because he's awesome. And
he can draw titties.
Oh yeah. You know what's funny is I told him, I'm like, dude, no, my character's PG-13, so no camel toe or no nips, you know. And like, he's like, all right. And he hits me back with this image of like, there's a little chibi ghost in the comic in the second issue named Sapphire Chibi. And like, he pulled like a Dean Yeagle, like a copper tone ad kind of thing where she's like yanking her like underwear up and you can see her butt a little. And I'm just like, oh man, well, I guess I didn't say no butt. So, all right, that's up there. That's going in, you know.
He found a loophole.
I didn't cover all my bases, but I'm like, all right, well, it's Steph and that's amazing. And it looks awesome. So yeah, but I'm also very excited. My good friend, Ashley Witter, Mazco, is almost done with going to do her cover because she's very into anime and she's going to be doing like a super anime looking cover because of the little chibi ghost that's going to annoy the main character. So I'm really excited to get that story out there. That's going to be issue 2 and it's going to be like probably in a month and a half or something, like sometime I'm guessing like early June or something is when I'm going to kickstart that one. Otherwise, people can find me mostly on Instagram with James T. Malloy, you know, little @ James T. Malloy for Instagram, or just JT Malloy on Facebook, Sapphire Spectres on Facebook, and I have a store on V, store.nv/ I think James Malloy or something. Just Google James Malloy or just go to my Instagram. There's a link there. Actually, the link currently is for Brian's thing for Kara Prime on there. But yeah.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, for sure. So, yep.
What about you, Dustin? What do you got going on? Oh, I'm sorry, James. If you got more stuff, James, don't.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
All right. What about you, Dustin?
Well, as you mentioned, this is my first writing project. I've really only been in the comic world for about 4 years. Most of that time, 3.5 at least, probably known these two gentlemen, Brian and JT. They were some of my early contacts throughout this thing. I did create a label. I've got 3 stories written. I'm taking my time with it. But you can find me on Facebook at Dustin Staub and at Rabid Rhino Comics on Facebook as well. That's Rabid Rhino Comics.
All right. And last but not least, the editor-in-chief, so to speak.
No, I call myself the Kevin Feige of Kara Prime.
Okay, there you go. The Kevin Feige of Kara Prime, Mr. Brian Silverbacks.
Yeah, so pretty much on any social media, you can find me at Brian Silverbacks. Brian with a Y, Backs with an X. Yeah, I'm going to be doing Kara Prime for the foreseeable future. So probably that's what I've got going on. But in the meantime, I'm dropping covers. I've got a cover for Bunny Mask coming up. I've got a cover for Department of Truth. And I just got hit today with another Department of Truth and another cover for Disoriented, I believe, or Distorted coming out from Scout Comics. So I'm trying to stay busy. And I may start appearing at more shows across the United States because I'm talking to an agent.
Okay, I figured by now you would have one, Mr. Big Shot Hollywood guy, showing up on The Walking Dead and all other. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't even bring that up.
That is all just smoke and mirrors,
just
man.
For anybody, all the listeners, Brian does a little bit of everything. This dude is legit on his grind.
Anybody who lives in Atlanta can respond to these Facebook ads the same as me. The only thing is that I have 7 years police experience and 6 years military experience, and a lot of the people don't have that. So when I apply for the jobs, it's usually to play a police officer, and then that's when I'll just be walking in the background of a police precinct with a folder.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for hopping onto the RK Pod to talk about Cara Prime, to talk about all the different projects and the ambitions that you have. For all the listeners out there, do not forget to check out the Kickstarter right now.
CaraPrime.com.
Yeah, CaraPrime.com. Also, $20. It gets you a whole lot of comic. It is definitely worth it. And as always, together, we are limitless.
We are limitless.